Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With the 32nd pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
With the 30th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select T.J. Watt, linebacker, Wisconsin.
With the 67th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Alvin Kamara, running back, Tennessee.
What up, Snapback fam? Welcome to our first ever NFL draft series. Yes, we talked to 10 plus NFL draft combine prospects on their journey to the league. And we are kicking off with Penn State alum John Reed, cornerback. This was a cool one because Abe went to Penn State. I obviously visited him a bunch and my girlfriend went to Penn State. We have a lot of Penn State ties. We love Penn State. And John Reed was the most humble person we talked to during the whole series. So I'm super excited for you guys to listen in about his journey to the league, a funny Wonderlic test that we gave all the prospects during the NFL draft series, and much more. So let's get it.
How's it going, man?
Going well. Appreciate y'all having me. Sure.
Of course.
Appreciate you coming on. It's about time. Yeah. It's about time we got a fellow Nittany Lion on this pod, because about six or seven of the last prospects we interviewed had all been from the state of Texas. I've had to deal with all these Southern guys, but I'm finally glad we got a Nittany Lion from Penn State. John, you were at school when I was at school. I graduated in 2018. How's the place been holding up?
I mean, it's still the same old Penn State from what everybody told me. When I meet any guys that I've kind of met throughout like this draft process that went to Penn State before, it seemed like a lot hasn't changed since they went there and since I went there. So it's probably still the same.
Yep.
We have some nice ties to Penn State. Abe is, I don't want to call him a fair weather fan, but he is a harsh critic the program at times. He's an honest critic of the program. Your time at Penn State, what did you think? Because I feel like you guys kind of revitalized Penn State football for what it is, but you also were so close to getting to the college football playoff during those years. What would you say your experience there was?
I think it was definitely just a fun experience being there, just because I felt like even when my class came in, a lot of recruits were kind of afraid to commit there, just from everything they had went through. They were kind of worried that maybe they'd be facing like a further punishment and stuff like that. But I think for a lot of guys that went in my recruiting class, we kind of saw it as an opportunity to go there and be able to play early and then make a change on the program. So like just to see how that kind of played out throughout my time there was really fun.
So I want to talk about 2016 in particular, your sophomore year. As a fan, I was a sophomore. That was your sophomore year?
Yeah, 2016 is my sophomore year. Yeah.
So I was a sophomore as well at school. And that season in particular stood out to me as like the biggest like, okay, Penn State football might be back, right? We started off the year a little shaky, that loss to Pitt on the road. But then the game against Ohio State at home where they blocked a kick, the ping pong balls kind of bounced our way with what happened around the Big Ten. And then you guys go to the Big Ten championship. You have that comeback win over Wisconsin. Then you get left out of the playoff for a Pac-12 champion in Washington. Whether or not that was a correct move or not, I'll hold back. But then the awesome game against USC in the Rose Bowl. What was that season like as a player? Because as a fan, when you go into a season like that, I didn't really have big expectations, like Big Ten championship aspirations as a fan. But obviously, it's different in the locker room. That year for me, in my 4 years at Penn State, that year of Penn State football was kind of the greatest season, in my opinion, just because we didn't really expect the success we had, and then we were on the borderline of a playoff. So what was that year like for you?
I think it was just really fun because, I mean, like you said, you kind of started the season, and I think you started the season off like 2-2 and stuff like that. So
yeah, we had the bad loss at Michigan and then the loss at Penn.
Yeah, like it was a real bad game, to be honest. So I think just to have that and then come together and then have a big win versus Ohio State in the whiteout, because everybody knows how the whiteout games are.
So, that game was wild, man. That game was wild.
So I think just to have something like that. And then once you get a win like that, you kind of just roll with the momentum. Like when you get you kind of come out of camp with like a good amount of confidence, but then when you put the wins behind it too, it kind of just starts to solidify, I think, for a lot of teams and stuff like that. So it takes more than just, you know, you can have a few people on the team that definitely believe y'all can win, but then like when you have those big wins like that, it kind of just furthers it for everybody on the team, kind of, even the guys that may not play a lot, but who still play a big role in helping the team be successful. So I think you just kind of roll with that momentum throughout the season, and then you win one game, and then you just kind of keep worrying about it game by game, and not really looking past anybody, especially when you start the season off 2-2, you kind of know not that you can't look past anybody at all. So I think just
that following week when the overtime went over Minnesota, that kind of got the season going.
Yeah, so then the big Minnesota game, like I think, you know, we just faced so much adversity throughout that year. And we had overcome it so many different times that we felt like we could keep doing that. I mean, obviously we wanted to start out a lot faster, so we wasn't putting ourselves in them situations, but we knew we could get out of them.
Yeah, that was the story of the year, second half team.
I do feel like that's kind of the bummer of that season. Is like, that's the best part of sports. It's not always like the perfect season. It's the one where you face adversity and then you come back. And like, if you guys had gotten into the playoff and you would have been the underdogs again, having that opportunity. But overall, an incredible season. What I want to talk about is, you know, everyone talks about Penn State's offense over the past couple of years and they point to Saquon, but Trace and, you know, all those guys, and then on the wide receiver front with Deshaun and now KJ and all them, what's it like going up against, you know, some elite athletes in practice? Did that really help, or was it the more in-game facing off in the Big Ten that polished your game as you get ready for the league?
I think it's kind of a mixture of both, just because, like, no matter how good the receivers are and stuff like that, eventually in practice you'll start to kind of get a read on a lot of them. So it's kind of like a good challenge for both of y'all, because you start to know how they play and they start to know how you play. So you start to be able to just naturally be able to compete better with each other throughout the course of the year. But then the challenge really comes when you got an opponent who you've never faced before in the Big Ten. You know, it's a lot of elite athletes. So kind of being able to adjust your game on the fly, or make sure you're doing your film study beforehand and stuff like that to make sure you're ready, I think it's kind of a mixture of the two. Because, I mean, obviously you work your craft there in practice, but then you got to be able to use multiple tools in the game to help you be successful.
How much of that film study can you do to kind of give you that practice advantage like you were talking about? Like if you go up against, you know, Deshaun or KJ all the time in practice, you learn, right? How much of that watching other receivers on film, if you watch, you know, hundreds of hours of a specific player, do you feel like you can model that, or it's more about the physical reps in game?
I think the biggest thing with watching film was just you kind of start to see a pattern from certain players. You start to kind of know what to expect. So you're not guarding the entire route tree every play. Like that's a lot. So you kind of want to know kind of the typical routes a person will run from a certain formation or maybe certain splits and stuff like that at a receiver. So it really just kind of allows you to eliminate as much thinking as possible when you play. But the biggest thing when you get into the game, though, is you may see one thing on film, but then in person, they can be a lot more twitchy than you think, or they can be like, you play against a lot of tall guys and sometimes they may not look fast on film, but they're able to separate just because of their strides and stuff like that. So obviously in the game is when you get the read on the physical part, but as far as the scheme and stuff like that, a lot of that's going to come from your film study.
Right. So obviously, you're striving for the NFL right now. You're in that process. Did you go to the combine?
Yes.
How'd that go?
The combine went it went really well. I think I kind of got to showcase my feet and stuff like that like I wanted to, and then a bit of my athleticism through the testing and stuff. So I think it went really well.
Love to hear that. Were you asked, like, so, like, we always hear these stories. Like, obviously, we can watch, like, your skills and everything on TV, but there's a lot of the combine that people don't see when you guys are going through these hours and hours of meetings with teams and whatnot. Sometimes some stories come out, like some weird things or weird questions are being asked. I'm curious, like when DK took his shirt off for his meeting with Pete Carroll, like, did you have any type of weird meeting or question that was just like, why the hell am I being asked this right now?
No, my meetings was pretty routine. I'm pretty straight to the point. So it isn't like, I'm not really one of those guys in a meeting, I guess, that you have to kind of pry information out of. I'm going to just be straight up with you all the time. That's just kind of how I am as a person. So I think my meetings were pretty standard. I think a lot of it just came from, I mean, they don't really have to search for an answer with me. When they ask a question, I'm going to just give them a straight answer. I mean, whether they like it or not. So I'm going to be honest.
That was great. Exactly. So that interests me. I'm curious. So have you ever throughout your football career, whether it's at school or high school or whatever, like you're in the heat of a moment, someone comes up to you with a microphone in your face, ask you a question, and you're just almost a little too brutally honest where you took a step back. You're like, damn, I shouldn't have said that. You ever have any funny situations like that?
Nah, because it's like you can be honest but still be professional at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure,
it's going to be different from when you're being honest with your best friend than when you're being honest with a coworker or something like that. So it's a different type when you're talking to a friend, you can pretty much say it in whatever tone you want to say it. Like, you can say that's your best friend. You can pretty much say it how you want to, and neither one of y'all is going to get offended just because of the relationship you have. Whereas when you're talking to other people, you don't have that relationship. So it's more so just about how you handle the situation, the kind of the way in which you say it, and realizing that you may not, in the case of the interviews, realizing that you don't really have that relationship with that person. So you just got to make sure that, I guess in a case of like someone just coming up with a mic or something like that, I've been getting recruited and stuff like that since I was in high school. So I guess you kind of get used to doing the interviews and being in front of a mic. So just kind of that training over the course of time kind of helps you too.
I feel like at the combine, they should, I mean, obviously you do the team meetings and that's where they get a gauge on your personality and your intangibles, obviously. But I feel like there should be I don't know, maybe it's like an acting type media thing drill where they put you at the podium in front of like 30 hungry reporters. They give you a situation like you just missed the game winning pass deflection, blah, 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 blah. here's a hard hitting question. How would you answer it? And just put you on the spot like that, some type of combine media drill, because you're going to be facing the media a lot.
Yeah, I had something like that though. So when I had a meeting, I had this funny you said, I had something legitimately straight like that. And basically, so this kind of comes. So I had, like I said, I've dealt with a bunch of reporters, and like you kind of get used to everybody having different personalities. Some people just want to see how you react. And I had something like that where they literally had like the one person telling you how good you did. You had one person criticizing your play from this year. You had another person talking to you about something that you don't want to talk about, and they just want to see how you respond to it. Like, I had something like that. It's funny you mentioned that. It was literally that exact scenario. And their media guy was basically like, did you realize all different people were acting as certain people to see how you react? I was like, yeah, I mean, I've been through that before, so I knew exactly what y'all were doing.
Maybe Abe has your stuff bugged. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. But I'm curious. If you're always shooting it straight, then what about when you're facing off with another opponent on the field? Are you a trash talker? Because Abe and I love trash talking cornerbacks. We also like the
especially cornerbacks.
But Abe and I are especially obsessed with the corners who, when a quarterback airmails the ball like 15 yards over the wideout's head, the corner that's just taunting and bragging and it's taking all the
credit. You gotta stop subtweeting Jalen Mills. That's my guy.
But I usually don't talk. Like, I'm usually I enjoy playing football, so for me, I'm fun. Like, I like to have fun out there. If anything, I'll be joking with my teammates and stuff while we're in the middle. We'll be in the middle of a 2-minute situation, and like me and my other teammate will be like, we'll be loose. Like, it kind of joking around, have fun, kind of keep you loose and able to play. But I really don't pop off at the mouth. I'd be too focused on what I got to do, like
that's,
being a corner.
Well, it's yeah, gonna be loose. It's definitely gonna be loose. But, like, you're telling me there's never been a situation where, like, you saw some dude lined up across from you and you knew in your head, you were just like, he literally cannot get by me. And you didn't just want to be like, you can't get by me. Like, that's never happened.
No, like, I mean, like, I just like to play, man. I'm not really okay. One to, now, if somebody's coming at you talking all crazy and stuff like that, you're going to end up saying something, period. I think you'll end up saying something, yeah. But I'm not usually one that I would just say to start off talking and stuff like that. I usually just give everybody their respect and just play them. Like, no matter if I think, my opponent isn't good or anything at all, because I've had teammates flat out say, like, I don't think this person's good, and I'm like, no. And some people was like that with me. If I don't think my opponent, I think every person you play with at the D1 level is pretty good. Whether I feel like I'm a really, I don't think I'm going to just go out there and express that to him. I'm going to just play and then just try to make plays on him. That's just the way I am. So.
Makes sense. Nah, I like that.
I respect that in a sense, but like, I've also, in the same breath, I've been to a few Penn State whiteout games against Ohio State in that atmosphere. And I understand you could be a humble player, like to let your play do the talking, but like, if you're telling me that you're not chirping at all during that whiteout atmosphere when Ohio State's in our building, come on, man. I'm not buying what you're selling, man.
I think you'd be a little surprised. I mean, y'all guys interviewing other people from Penn State, I think they'll tell you I'm pretty even keel. I play in a lot of big games.
Are we getting Cam Brown back on?
Cam will talk for sure. He don't say too much. It ain't really a lot of guys at Penn State that really say too much. I ain't gonna lie to you. Maybe on the offensive side. But.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, look at Saquon. Like, he's the golden boy from the school, and he's known as like the most humble, quiet guy. So yeah, I think it is a part of the culture there. We'll stick it to a straight. Like, do you ever read your draft, profile or what they're saying about you? And like, I know you don't talk. I know you're very even keel, but like, do you think that there's some doubters, and is that fair? Like, why are they doing
so much success? I think it's the fact that you play sports. I mean, not everybody's going to, I kind of grew up knowing that not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to think you're good at what you think you're good at. Just kind of how you play a sport. Like, it's entertainment. People had their opinions on entertainment. Everybody could have liked this movie. But then you got your one friend who's like, man, I didn't like it because of some reason. You like, well, you pointing out one reason. That's just kind of just what we live in. Then on top of that, with social media, everybody got a voice. So they feel like more people was chirping at you. Whereas now, I mean, it's just, you kind of get used to it after a while. And then as far as your draft stuff, I think for most players going through it, I don't even think you have to research it because most people around you are telling you about it. Right. Like, you have friends that see you like, I heard such and such. Like, I think I had my friends were tweeting me like, they posted like some stats on me when I played man, but I hadn't really given up much catches at all. And man, and I'm like, look, like I've been telling y'all, I had been whenever my friends will tell me like what's going on and stuff like that. And I kind of tell them a little breakdown of what I feel like the season is and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's just funny when they start pointing it out to me and stuff like that in the media, or they'll say like such and such stuff about you, but
just watch the film. Just watch
it. Yeah, I think. So I think, like I said, it's entertainment. So, I mean, not everybody's going to like what you do and not everybody's going to like how you play. But if you produce, it speaks for itself.
All right. So what about at the combine? Did you get to take the Wunderlich test?
Yeah, I took it. I heard I scored pretty well, but nobody. It's funny. Like, I don't think I actually got my scores, but I think everybody else did. Because when I was talking to other people, like, did you score really? I'm like, yo, and it's funny. So the one thing is like, you scored really well. You did a really good job on the Wunderlich. I said, what was my score? He's like, don't worry about it. I can't know my score.
Wait, so who wouldn't tell you exactly? Was it like a specific?
I can't tell.
I bet you it was Matt Patricia.
Nah, but it was funny though. I thought it was funny. It wasn't a big deal, but I had a couple people tell me like I scored really well, and like nobody's telling me to score. So I think I did all pretty. Right. People were saying I did pretty good, but I don't really know the score.
We have our own Wunderlich test because
this one is proven more accurate than the one that they give you in Indy.
Yes, this pretty much determines your career. And you know what, John? Just because we like you, we'll tell you your score at the end. How's that?
All right, man. This is going to be rough. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Abe, you kick it off.
All right. Here we go. Question number one. You're familiar with the Kardashian family and the Jenner family, right?
Yeah.
I'm taking notes for this. If you were gonna date all of the Kardashian and Jenner girls for 6 months each, that doesn't include the mom, so throw the mom out of there. How long would it take you to date them all? Each daughter for 6 months.
Oh no, I got a girl, man. I ain't even going with.
You don't have to actually date them.
I'm gonna have to say next question, man.
All right, fine. No, the correct answer was 2.5 years.
That's
if your girl can give you a 2.5 year hall pass, then the Kardashian and the Jenner.
He doesn't want it. All right, John. Is an avocado a fruit or a vegetable?
Ooh. I mean, I'm gonna have to say vegetable. What is it?
It's a fruit. Because
what?
scientific definition.
We're both on your side.
Scientific definition is anything with a pit or a seed is a fruit.
Oh yeah, you have to cut. I don't even eat avocados because I don't like. It's like the big thing. What is the big thing in the middle again? I don't like avocados.
It's a big pit.
I don't like
how. You're not supposed to eat that. You're supposed to throw the pit out.
Yeah, I think that. So look, that shows you how much I actually have ever even had them before. Whenever I see people open them or cut them open, they'd be like, "Do you want one?" I'd be like, "No, nah, I'm okay, thanks."
Well, if you're playing in on the West Coast in California, you might start to like avocados.
Yeah.
But question number three. Since we'll do a McDonald's question because Penn State's food is so shit.
I love McDonald's. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, there we go. No avocado, no Kardashians, but we're
Penn State's food is so shitty enough that we can spend 3 a.m. mornings at McDonald's when there's just a million.
Bro, look, so go ahead. Yeah, I'm hyped for this now. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. If you had a dollar for every single country that there is in the world, how many Big Macs would you be able to buy with that money?
Oh my goodness! I don't know how many countries in the world. Look,
you gotta take a stab at it.
Yeah, dollar for every country.
I'm gonna say like.
Trust me, we've heard
100.
Okay.
Not bad. And then, all right, so there's 190.
He could still get the answer based off what he prices the Big Mac at.
True.
Price a Big Mac at like.
And it's not just the burger, not the meal.
The Big Mac probably like $2, maybe.
I told you, Abe. No, so the answer is 195 countries and $4 for a Big Mac. But the fact that you say 100 countries and $2 for a Big Mac, you're spot on with buying 50 Big Mac.
All right, okay.
That just shows, even when you're wrong, you're sometimes right. Okay.
Exactly. All right. What is heavier, 1,000 pounds of bricks or 1,000 pounds of feathers?
Like, yo, they're the same. They're the same.
Attaboy, there we go. Okay.
We've had to get that wrong.
I think it was funny. The clip, the dude was like, bricks. He said, you ever get hit with 1,000 pounds of bricks, 1,000 pounds of feathers? I'm like, look, you got a
point. All right.
Next question.
This one is football related, at least.
Yeah, this one has a little bit to do with football. What is longer in terms of measurement, an NFL football or a Subway $5 footlong?
Footlong.
There you go. There wow, go. That was
NFL
easy.
Football is 11 inches long, so 1 inch short.
Yeah, I was going to say footlong.
All right.
So I love, I eat a lot.
You like Subway? You like Subway?
I like Subway, yeah.
I don't understand people that hate on Subway.
And
I like the cookies, man.
The cookies and do not sleep on the meatballs. The meatball
meatballs are solid. But I don't know.
I like
I don't love this stuff.
I get the tuna melt with the banana peppers on it.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
Might have to hit that.
All right. Next question. Some months have 31 days, other months have 30 days. How many months in the year have 28 days?
It's just one, isn't it? February?
Come on, John. All the months in the year have 28 days.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you meant the only one that had 28. I'm tripping. All right.
If you misheard me, that's on that.
Now you understand we're trying to fool you. So here we go. You're running in a race, and you pass the guy that is in third place. What place are you now in the race?
You're running a race and you pass the guy that's in third place. You're in third place.
There we go. All right. This one, not a trick question, just pretty much
just hard as shit. Just hard as shit.
All right. 9th place, 10th place, 11th place, 12th place. So that word, 12th. Can you spell that word?
12th. What? I've never even thought of that.
Yeah, I know. Neither have we. And then we came up with this question, and it's probably like they should just give this in the
it has a weird spelling to it.
It does.
E-W-E-L. But then there's a I remember there's a F. F D.
Hey.
F C H, you got it.
Okay. Okay. That's honestly that's very impressive.
Can't tell you if an avocado is a fruit or a vegetable, but spelling bee.
I can't say. Yeah, I didn't. I'm like, look, man. I'm like, this is probably dumb. I'm like, but it's most green. Besides.
That's, all right. Final question to determine your NFL career.
Hold on. Before you start this, honestly, this one has given a lot of trouble too.
Yeah, it actually has.
And we haven't pointed that out, but this question has been pretty tough for people. Let's see,
All right, last question.
If we can keep the 12th momentum.
So here we go. A monkey, a squirrel, and a giraffe. All three of them are racing to the top of a coconut tree. Who will get to the banana first between a monkey, squirrel, and giraffe?
I mean, I would depend on how big the tree is. I would say a giraffe.
Yeah, no, that you'd probably be correct. You'd probably be correct in a giraffe, but the thing is, they're racing to the top of a coconut tree. And I asked you, who will get to the banana first? Banana. I've never
seen a tree. Oh, my God. Yeah, I say, look, y'all going to get me on this spot.
All right. So your score, we actually never really tallied up. But what we do is we project out your NFL career. So based off your results, just strictly testing, I think I have you rated as a 5-time Pro Bowler. And then anything you put in the work off the field, that can improve upon that. So solid start. Solid start. That was good effort. And you got 12th. That was impressive. John, what do you like to do?
2 points.
Yeah, 12th is like honestly 100% on the test. What do you like to do off the field though when you're not just doing football or hanging with the Kardashians?
So I think for me it's just I play the game a lot. I'm big in the game. So that's what I've been doing it since I was a kid and it just kinda hasn't changed. So a lot of Call of Duty, and then I play a lot of like League of Legends and World of Warcraft. So like I play a bit of everything.
A little birdie told me you were big into computers, and then I went on your social media, and you're building keyboards during this time. What's that all about? So, that looks pretty cool.
So basically, like I've always had this thing where like so I kind of built my own computer and stuff like that. So I did that, and then I was kind of one. I'm like, well, I built the computer and I rebuilt it a few times. I'm like, what else can I do that's something different? I was like, I guess every so often I kind of try to pick up something. I was like, let me see if there's something I could be good at, something I could pick up real quick. So then I was like, I always kept buying different. I always buy different keyboards. I don't know why. It's something I've always done. So then I'm like, forget it. I might as well try to build my own. So then I'm up one of those late night Google searches where you're just looking up stupid stuff. And then I'm like, well, let me see if there's like a Reddit for it. And then, so basically there's like a big Reddit for people who build their own keyboards. And I'm like, dang, I didn't even think this was a thing. So then I start ordering the parts and stuff like that. And I mean, I'm on the computer a lot. So I'm like, I might as well have something that's my own. So then I was like, I'll just build it and see if I like it. And then I think that was the first time I posted it. People liked it. And then my friends and I liked it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, are we just going to breeze by the fact that you said you built a computer and then rebuilt it a few times? Like, that's not like the easiest thing in the world. What did you major in at Penn State?
So I switched from computer science to computational data science just so like I don't like physics and I don't like any of that, but I like programming and then I like math. So I pretty much was able to do both of those with that major instead of having to do like I didn't really want to do computer engineering and physics and all that. Like I really just wanted to do my software stuff and then do the math part. So that kind of gave me that option. And then I wanted to stay in engineering too. So I kind of got like the best of each world I wanted to by staying in that major. So I kind of switched it up.
I was a management information systems major. So a little bit of relation there with the data. Yeah. More of a business data than engineering data, but you know, more so.
No, absolutely. We probably took some of the same math classes though, for sure.
For sure. So you went to
St. Joe's. Probably cheating off you in class.
All right, Jack.
No, not me. I was whenever we did like the group projects for data science and stuff like that, the big thing I guess I pretty much became known for is that whatever they had, I could code it and stuff like that. That's like the biggest my contribution to the group. Yeah, I was like, my contribution to the group was pretty much like, look, you guys just give me the math that y'all want to do. You kind of give me the idea, I can code it straight out.
There we go.
So that's kind of what I was best at, I'd say.
So did you grow up a football fan of like a specific team or like a sports fan in general?
We gotta figure this out.
I pretty much grew up a Vic fan, I would say, like watching Michael Vick. When I was a kid and stuff like that, and I'm playing in the street and in the backyard, it was probably like, you know, obviously you playing against your friends, stuff like that. Everybody does well when they playing against their friends. So like what I'm doing in the backyard, I see Michael Vick doing on TV. I'm like, sheesh, this is crazy. And that's kind of like my first time I really started watching sports like that is when Michael Vick started playing. So I pretty much was a fan of wherever Vick went. That's just kind of how it was for me.
Okay, so you went to St. Joe's Prep. You're from South Jersey. You're a Michael Vick fan. Like, can we put these pieces together?
Went to Penn State.
Yeah, well, that's in West.
So, like, I guess for me, like, I was always.
Can we just call you an Eagles fan and move on?
I was more so like I wasn't gonna be a fan of a team just because everybody else was. I wanted my own thing, so I kind of like I liked Michael Vick. Everybody else liked the team. I kind of liked watching certain players and stuff like that. So that's just and I was like it's like now when I turn on basketball, like or even last year I'm turning on basketball to watch the best players. Like I'm not really watching the team. They be like LeBron is on it. Like I'm gonna watch LeBron. I'm not gonna just throw on any team. I guess.
So Michael Vick's now out of the NFL, correct? So,
yeah, so now
as of a year or two ago, where did your
time out, Abe. Let me get my pitch in because your Eagles pitch didn't go well. John, I'm a diehard Ravens fan. Some would say there's a player who resembles Michael Vick a lot, maybe in Baltimore. what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the purple?
They got a great defense, and I mean, can't nobody stop Lamar Jackson? So it's been crazy what he's been doing in the league right now. I love watching it. I mean, what I do now is though instead of watching the games because I don't really like to sit through commercials. I just don't want to sit there listening to the commentators the whole night. So they were able to do in colleges. I could just get the cut up for the whole football game and watch it on my iPad. I don't want to see, like, I could watch all my favorite corners, like with the whole field view. Because, you know, the corners sometimes, if the corners ain't breaking up a pass, they're getting a bomb thrown on them. The camera's not really on them. So I want to be able to see everybody. So I think that's pretty much been the way I've watched NFL football since I got to college, pretty much on my iPad. And I can see their plays and all that.
Yeah, I think you made a good point. Really, no one in the NFL can stop Lamar Jackson. I guess that really points to the Krabby Patty secret formula the Tennessee Titans had in December but anyway, John, is there a corner like that you grew up watching? Obviously, you said you were a big Michael Vick fan, but was there a corner, especially since you play that position, that you like to model your game after? Or you always admired because you thought he was the greatest? Or even someone that you're looking forward to doing a jersey swap with. I know that's a new craze.
Yeah, I think I've always liked this recently. I mean, was probably a lot. I like watching Chris Harris a lot. That's probably the one person from the Broncos. I really like because he can play now the inside
Chargers.
And
now
outside.
He's on the Chargers.
Pretty much shows you how much I keep up with everything like that.
Yeah, he signed last week with the Chargers.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. That's crazy. It's funny because I work out with Will Parks here in Philly, and he was just with the Broncos. He just signed with the Eagles, so I might have to talk to him about it. Yeah,
How are his workouts looking?
He's working clean. His feet and everything is clean. But I've known Will since forever. Like, I know him for a super long time since I was in high school. So I've been working on him for a little while now. His work ethic is just crazy. Like, dude will do footwork in the morning. He'll lift like somewhere around 12 or something like that, and then he'll do another speed workout later that day. Like his work ethic is crazy. Like, so you know, I'm happy for him to be in Philly, especially where he's from. You know, he's going to do a lot of stuff for the city, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, the way you're talking, I mean, you say that those words to an Eagles fan about the newest Eagle, and I have Defensive Player of the Year written. No, that's the expectations you have set for Will on my behalf.
Yeah, so he's gonna do his thing, though. I'm happy for him.
Damn right.
Well, Ravens play the Eagles, so we'll see what Lamar does to him. All right, John, final question. And you say you shoot it straight, but we also know you are a very even keel guy and you're smart with the media. We're not traditional media, so feel free to actually give a good answer. If you could pick a team to play for, I know you'd be honored to play for any team. We'll preface with that. But if you could pick, is there a specific team, whether it's location, scheme, just, you know, players you want to play around? Is there a team you would love to play for maybe a little more than the others?
I think just, like I said, I pretty much have watched corners from pretty much every team. So I wouldn't, like, realistically, I really wouldn't mind where I go, just because nowadays it's like most people are guarding like that 11 personnel spread teams throwing the ball. So it's like no matter where you're going, which conference, you know, you're going to be on a team where they play pretty much with three corners on the field at all times. So I like kind of what I did in college where I played outside and I played inside. So I just hope I can kind of do the same in the NFL. And pretty much every team now is doing that kind of style where they got corners playing inside and outside. Or you got just a guy playing a nickel or a guy playing outside. So I think just the way that the NFL is trending in general, I think it's just a positive for me.
Right. I feel like there's like there's a lot of parts when we ask like players, what team do you want to go to? Like, yeah, it's a lot about fit. It's a lot about scheme. It's a lot about personnel. But there's also stuff that like that people don't talk about that's just very obviously just about like life. Like, yeah, I would love to play for the Vikings organization. But how much do I want to live in Minnesota versus living in Miami? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, there's
I've been in
Jersey. I was going to say, once you're in state college, you can pretty much live anywhere. I've visited a few times.
You can eat it's anywhere, too.
There's nothing in state college, man.
There's nothing, bro. And the food is so trash.
Is awful.
So John, you were talking about it earlier, like best friends can shoot it straight. So Abe and I grew up together. I went down to Texas. Abe has never said a good thing about me, like in my life, I would say, but like it's out of respect, right? Like that's what best friends do. But no, most of the time
it's not out of respect.
the one time he gave me a compliment was when he came to visit Texas and he said, yo, this food is wild. And that's because I think it has to do half with how good the food in Austin is, but also like state college food, man. Like my girlfriend went to Penn State. Oh my God, it is so good. But my girlfriend went to Penn State and was like, I'm taking you to the best burger place. And I was like, we ate there.
The field is fire. The field is fire.
This is the most average burger I've ever eaten in my life.
Bro, John, what are some of your state college, like, what were your spots to hit on, like, Order Up or Grubhub or something? What were your spots?
So, yeah, so, like, I like so freshman and sophomore year, I think, so they changed something. I don't know what they changed. I was a big Wings Over guy, the Honey Barbecue.
Yep.
Love them.
I like Zen's better than Wings Over.
So, look, so then after something happened, I don't like Wings Over no more. I don't know if they changed the wings or something.
Neither do I.
So look, so then I started ordering from it's the place called Are You Hungry? Now Are You Hungry? I only like the buffalo chicken fries though. Like literally, that's all I order from there.
Bro, that's the place that sells like the fat bitch sandwich and everything, right?
Yeah, I was looking at their menu. I'm like, hold up now.
What is that? Yeah, that's the sandwich with like mozzarella, no, chicken Austin, fries.
Austin has one. It's called Fat Sal's, and it was started by like Turtle from Entourage. It's like a staple, and they have like these crazy eating challenges. All right, I lied. Final question is this: what's like your pregame meal, your go-to before a game?
Pregame meal. So I like so the Penn State kind of got these little like. So it's not really like this. So the pregame meal is usually like it's usually breakfast because we got a lot of 12 o'clock games and then. Yeah. You know, for your later games, you're not really eating a ton because you're not trying to be playing a game with a thing full of steak in your stomach. So it's pretty basic. With the little spin I put on it, they got the little slush. So when we got the whole new nutrition and stuff like that, they started taking away a lot of our snacks and all that. Cause I used to eat the Frosted Flakes all the time before the game. The people always knew me. Every time I come in there, people would give me, I take like 3 boxes of the Frosted Flakes because I always like the cereal. But then I eat those, and then they got the little slushy machine that's like as low, it's like in the cut almost at a Penn Stater, and then I would always have that and stuff like that for the games, like a little change up because I like sweets and candy and all that. So that's kind of something I'd do before the game.
This is my favorite part of doing podcasts is like we talk to you about all the football stuff, but Abe and I get off on like the breakdowns of these guys' pregame meals of like where you find your stuff and like the little secrets of it. So is Frosted Flakes your favorite cereal? Because Abe and I have actually done, we do a segment called Ranked where we rank our top cereals. And Abe is on the record saying Frosted Flakes are overrated.
So look, Frosted, like, so like, I like a lot of cereal that's good dry because, like, I feel like a lot of times when I got to put the milk in my cereal, like, I feel like I got to eat it fast because I don't like soggy cereal. I think that's nasty.
Interesting.
So, like, I think for me, I like Apple Jacks from Lucky Charms, Apple Jacks, Lucky Charms, and then probably the Frosted Flakes, I'd say.
That's bro, probably I tried telling you.
No, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, too. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yep. There you go. So, Jack and I, when we ranked our cereals, we all agreed that Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the GOAT. I don't think there's any denying that. But I also told Jack that Lucky Charms is a great cereal to eat without milk. I like it a lot better without milk.
So so I agree with that. I agree 100% for sure.
Yep.
But then some people like with the some people like with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but people like to drink the milk after and all that.
100%. Cinnamon Toast Crunch with the milk. Cinnamon Toast Crunch any time of the day.
You're not talking to cereal eaters here. Come on. Like, we've been through Wonderlic for the cereal stuff.
John, you took enough of your time.
We appreciate you coming on. We want to shout out your social media so everyone listening can find you. J_Reed25 on Instagram. And before I let you go, I am seeing that DJ Moore follows you. Is he, you know, does he think he's nicer than you? He thinks he's going to beat you up.
Who, DJ Moore?
Yeah, what's good with that? Because the rest is just Penn State, guys.
So
like,
so in Philly, me and DJ have been playing together, have been playing against each other, and we play on the same 7-on-7 team since maybe my freshman, sophomore in high school. Like, we were doing one-on-one. I had been doing one-on-ones with DJ for the longest time before we went to college. So, like, a lot of guys in Philly, just like Will Parks, Will Fuller, like you had David Williams, like pretty much the majority of the Philly players now at all that you see in the NFL, all of us used to go to. So on Sundays, we used to have this camp. You know how now they have like the Rivals camps and all the big 7-on-7 camps and all that. So we used to do that on Sunday. All the best players in Philly would come out on Sunday, but there would be no cameras. Like, sometimes we have to hop the gate because the field was shut down. Like, but it'd be all the best players, and all of us would be going at it, one-on-ones, drills. I mean, hundreds of reps, just every day, like every week in the summer. And that's where a lot of us.
Philadelphia air. brings out that dog.
Yeah, like it would be days in the winter where, like, pretty much we'd be shoveling the field off with the snow. All of us would be going at it. So, you know, a lot of us know each other from that, and then playing on the same 7-on-7 teams. So that's kind of how we know each other.
So he's not trying to just get in your head. Well, can you at least say on the air that Amani's a trash corner so Abe and I can text him?
Amani is tough. I'm trying to say.
I know. We love Amani. I need something to be able to DM him and be like, yo, I was just talking to your boy and he said you're kind of trash.
Nah, not at all. Amani's tough. Sure.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a fist.
All right, John, we appreciate you coming on. Welcome to the Snapback fam. Everyone who listens, we tell them we're family. So welcome to the family and best of luck to you. We'll definitely be supporting you and keep your head on straight. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks for taking the time. Best of luck.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you guys for listening to that episode with John Reed. That is just one of many Snapback NFL Draft Series podcasts to be heard. Stay tuned for more. Make sure to follow us, Snapback Pod on Instagram, and follow me and Abe. I'm at Jack Settleman. Abe is Abe Granoff. You know what to do, Snapback fam. We'll catch you next time.